Well, this week we welcomed a new year, and none of us could have anticipated the things we have experienced in this past year. But hindsight is 2020. At least that's how the saying goes, and that is the title of today's message. Not only can we say hindsight is 2020, but we can now say that 2020 is hindsight. And we will be opening our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, where we find some principles of wisdom that we're going to apply to the experiences of this past year, and we're going to carry with us into the year to come. Underlying this message is the belief that there is something of value in every difficulty. In our rush to be done with 2020, let's not miss the value that God has in these experiences. As we begin the message today, join me in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we commit this time to you. We want to enter a new year with wisdom from heaven. I pray you'd speak to us through your word today. I pray that you would apply lessons and value from the difficult experiences we've had this past year to help us live better in the year to come. In Jesus' name, amen. I just returned home this week from vacation, and I would be preaching in person today, but I'm in quarantine. And it was an awesome vacation, but I have to tell you just a little bit about it because it started really rough. You know, it takes a lot of extra work to get ready to take time away from work. And so the few weeks leading up to vacation were busy as they normally are. And to add to that, I'm in school and the semester ended 4 days before vacation, and I had a whole bunch of stuff to finish up before that. And then we noticed a day or two before flying out that our flight had been changed, and we are now flying out at 3 a.m. So we adjusted our plans and we figured we'd just get to sleep real early the night before so we didn't have to travel tired. But that didn't really happen because there was so much to do. We still had to pack, and our family had decided to do homemade Christmas gift exchange, and I hadn't started mine until a few days before leaving, so I was still working on my Christmas gift hours, even minutes, before leaving to the airport. So we did not sleep a lot. In fact, we didn't sleep at all. But as we left for the airport, I still felt surprise and satisfaction that I actually finished it all. We were heading on vacation. That push was behind us, even though we were pretty exhausted. And we got to the airport, and it felt good to get that part of the journey out of the way. We went through security and got to the right gate. And that first flight to Seattle was just torture. I was hot, and I was being a baby about my mask. I had a hard time feeling like I could get enough air. And I didn't even know half the time if I was awake or asleep. My head was cocked like that, trying to rest a bit. And we got to Seattle, and it was just good to be done with that flight. But that wasn't our final destination. We were heading on into Phoenix. And so the next flight, we got to Phoenix, and we got done with that part of the flight. We're done with the airplanes now, got our bags, and went out and followed the signs for the rental car center. And it led us out to a curb and a crowd of people. And there was some shuttle buses going to the rental car center, but they kept leaving and passing us with a whole bunch of seats available. We found out that that crowd was a line and they were waiting to get on the buses, and found out later that the buses could only take 15 people at a time because they had to allow for social distancing. So after a long wait, we finally boarded the bus, and it just felt good once again to have that part of the journey behind us, because when you're tired, every bit of the travel becomes more difficult. And we got to the rental car center, and I had reserved a car 11:30 the night that we left, so just a few hours before leaving. And I got a compact car because it was just such a good deal and I couldn't pass it up. So I got a compact car and talked to the lady at the desk, and she saw that I had a family of five and we had a whole bunch of bags. And she just knew that that compact car wasn't going to work for us. We weren't going to compact enough to fit in that car. So she talked me into paying for an upgrade. And she said, hey, I'll give you the same price for either a full-size sedan or an SUV. And my brain was just too tired to make decisions, and she could tell. So she just said, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll just put on here that you have an option and you can go down to the parking garage. And once you see them, you can choose what you want. Just go down there and make your choice. So we go down there, and there's another lady when we get there, and she looks at our card there and she points us over to the full-size sedan. Doesn't give us an option. She just points us to the full-size sedan, and we start putting our luggage in, and we were a couple bags short of fitting. So I tried to tell her the conversation I had had with the lady up top, and she was certain that I didn't understand, and I was pretty sure she didn't understand. I tried to tell her what the lady had told me, and then she told me that that lady didn't know what she was talking about, and I was trying to be nice, and she wasn't. And we were going back and forth on this, and fortunately, the lady who had given me that deal was getting off work at that time, and she was walking to her car, and she saw us having some trouble and stopped in and rescued us. And so these two ladies argued for a bit, and finally they pointed us to the SUV, and there was a whole bunch of options, but we did not care. We just got in the first one, put our bags in, and drove off before they could change their mind. And it just felt good. Once again, the mess at the car rental center was over. Put that behind us, and we were done with that. But we still had a 2-hour drive before we got to the house where our family was waiting to welcome us, and we were tired, made the 2-hour drive, and finally we got there. We were tired, we needed a shower, we were a bit grouchy, but we were there. That long, hard trip was done. And it just feels good when a difficult thing comes to an end. Many of us are coming into 2021 the same way I arrived at my vacation. We're tired and grouchy. Maybe we need a shower. Maybe we're depressed. Maybe we're just sick of how things have gone this past year. But at the same time, we're celebrating because that really hard thing, 2020, is behind us. And we know that not everything changed with the date on the calendar, but we're just glad it's in the past. But here's the trouble. Being glad that a good thing is done is not enough. It's not enough to move us on to the next thing in a healthy way. If I had arrived at my vacation and just been glad it was over, but not adjusted, not realized that I've been pushing myself too hard and I really need to rest, I really need to recover from being so tired, then I could have carried my tired, grouchy self all the way through that vacation and return home just as exhausted as I arrived. It's not enough to celebrate that 2020 is behind us. If we want to move into the next year in a healthy, meaningful way, then we're going to have to learn from those experiences. We're going to have to take the value that God has given us in the experiences of 2020 and bring them with us into the year to come. I found some 2020 quotes that were collected by Stephanie Osmansky in a post for Parade.com. Some of these capture the year pretty well. 2020 is a unique leap year. It has 29 days in February, 300 days in March, and 5 years in April. Day 7 of social distancing. Struck up a conversation with a spider today. Seems nice. He's a web designer. My life feels like a test I didn't study for. For the first time in history, we can save the human race by laying in front of the TV and doing nothing. Coronavirus has turned us all into dogs. We roam the house looking for food, we're told no if we get too close to strangers, and we get really excited about car rides and walks. If you had asked me what the hardest part of battling a global pandemic would be, I would have never guessed teaching elementary school math. If there's one thing that scares me more than an apocalyptic end of the world, it's the possibility that if my kids fail at homeschooling, they have to retake it. 2020 was like looking both ways before you cross the street, then getting hit by an airplane. It's good to find some humor in some of the difficulties of 2020, but there are some things we've experienced that we just can't laugh about. Like the 83 million confirmed cases of COVID-19, like the 1.8 million deaths related to COVID-19, the ugly and contentious US elections that we experienced, the turmoil related to social justice issues, the over 10 million acres of U.S. land burned by wildfires, and including five of the largest 20 fires in the state of California, and thousands who've been displaced from their homes globally, nationally, in our own state, in our own church, in our own homes. This has been a really tough year to navigate. 2020 is hindsight, or is it? Now that the year is over, are we really able to look at all those difficulties and make perfect, clear sense of it all? No. The date has changed, but the difficulties are still here. And as long as we run away from the hard things, hindsight will never be 2020. We must learn from those things and the value that God has in them to carry them with us to the next thing. In our text today, Paul outlines ways to live that are wise, and we're going to find four ways that hindsight can be 2020. Four ways that the experiences of 2020 can help us live better lives in 2021. So open up to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see in that text four ways that hindsight can be 2020. Here's the first one. Hindsight is 2020 when we apply it to our own lives. Verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. The King James Version says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. And the ESV reads, look carefully then how you walk. That Greek word that we translate carefully means with exactness. It can also mean strictly or distinctly. And so we are to examine life with a disciplined, focused, accurate view. And the object of our examination is not all of them, it's us. Be very careful then how you live. This is a self-focus that is not self-centeredness. We spend a lot of our time thinking about self and loving ourselves, but looking at everyone else. So what if we flip that? What if we carefully examined ourselves and cared more for others? And there are so many things pulling our attention, distracting us from doing that self-examination. 2020 has given us so many of those potential distractions. And we see a great example of these potential distractions in the very lives of the people Paul was writing to. Ephesus was a happening place. So hang in there with me for a bit of history. There's a point to this. Ephesus was the capital city of the Roman province of Asia. It was a major port city connecting international trade routes. It was known as the gateway to Asia. It was also very ethnically diverse, and it was also the center of pagan worship. It was dominated by the cult of the Roman goddess Diana and her Greek equivalent Artemis. The Temple of Artemis was over 500 years old at the time of Paul's writing. It took 120 years to build, and it became one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. One second century travel writer described it as surpassing all buildings among men. The practices of the cultic worship were wildly immoral. There were temple prostitutes lining the streets because sexual acts were part of their worship rituals. This false religious system was such a part of the culture that when Paul preached there, it impacted their economy and threatened the temple because he spoke against idols. This is the immoral culture that the believers in Ephesus were living in. And when he writes to them in Ephesians 1:1, he refers to them as the saints in Ephesus, or God's holy people. They were set apart from all of that. And these are the people that he writes, be very careful then how you live. So the focus is on us living right, but there's all these distractions. And I see two very real distractions in the culture in Ephesus that are very relevant today. First, it would have been easy for the believers to take the focus off of holy living and be swept away in the current of the culture they were surrounded by. And some did. We read in the message to this church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation that they have forsaken their first love. And that's why Paul wrote to them in the book of Ephesians. He said, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. And right here in chapter 5, we see Paul calling these people to be set apart from their culture in holiness. Notice some of these verses. In verse 3, Paul tells the church to not even have a hint of those things that are improper for God's holy people. They can do it, you can't. In verse 6, he tells them that the wrath of God is coming on sinful practices like the ones in their culture. He warns them in verse 7 not to be partners with them. He reminds them in verse 8 that they were once in that kind of darkness, but they no longer are. In verses 11 and 12, he says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Hindsight is 20/20 when we apply it to our own lives, but one of the distractions is that our culture is not applying it. Our culture is immoral. They're not learning the valuable lessons from these experiences, and we are called to be countercultural and to look carefully at how we live. A second possible distraction was the temptation to condemn all the evils around them and have no attention left over to focus on personal right living. We've seen this done by Christians this past year, where we give all of our energy to condemning the wrong practices of everyone else all around us, and we have no energies left for personal reform. We try to reform the world and neglect making our own lives right. And that's what the Ephesians did. In fact, Christians were persecuted until the Roman emperor adopted Christianity, and then it flipped. Pagans were persecuted. And Emperor Theodosius I made a decree that pagan worship was condemned and all the rituals were condemned. And so Christians were emboldened to then go in mobs and destroy pagan worship sites. And they did that to the Temple of Artemis. The Archbishop of Constantinople, John Chrysostom, was referred to by Cyril of Alexandria as the destroyer of demons and overthrower of the Temple of Diana. Now, I'm not condoning pagan worship. It is the wrong spirit, but it is also the wrong spirit that goes and persecutes those who worship differently than us. And it shows how quickly, how easily we can turn our religious zeal from reforming self to trying to reform everyone else around us. And often that effort is done with politically polluted motives, and it's unjust and it's pious and it hurts people. And Paul calls us to look very carefully at how we live, because hindsight is 20/20 when it is applied to our own lives. It would be so unproductive and unhelpful for us to come away from 2020 just frustrated and angry about how terrible everything is and not give attention to our own starving, hurting spiritual lives that God wants to nourish in 2021. I listened to a podcast episode of Cary Newhoff interviewing John Tyson, two influential Christian leaders. John had a difficult personal struggle with COVID-19, and he also leads a church in New York City where they had devastating outbreaks. And so Cary asked John to share a few things that he's done to keep from burning out as a leader. And as part of his answer, this is what John said. I can tell you about COVID rates in Wuhan. I can tell you about Korean cell phone trafficking. I can tell you about the global pandemic. I can tell you about how the British Prime Minister is doing, but do I know my actual neighbors' names? So I'm giving my attention to that which I actually have no agency. And so I've tried to take action where I have agency. That is one way that he's kept from burning out as a leader. He added to that, "Very few people will be given the cultural influence and power to actually shape history, but all of us have unlimited agency to shape the world around us." Author Neil Postman called this the low information to action ratio. Technology has made it possible for us to know a whole bunch of information that is too remote for us to do anything about. So we know everything about everything, but we don't know about the things that we could actually impact. And so we should put our attention and our energy to those places where we actually have influence. Be very careful then how you live. We have an idea of how 2020 has impacted our economy and our culture and our world, but how has it impacted you? If we come away from 2020 just disgruntled and upset and don't focus on how it can refine us and shape us, then we missed it. Hindsight is 2020 when we apply it to our own lives. And if we try to apply it to everything else, we're not going to benefit from the hindsight of 2020. We also see that hindsight is 2020 when we embrace the opportunity. Verse 16 says, "Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." The King James says, "redeeming the time," and the English Standard says, "making the best use of the time." There is some time that needs redeemed from 2020, and it might not have been the best time, but we can make the best use of it, because in every obstacle, there's a unique opportunity. So I recommend that you take some time to do a YouTube search of Aaron Fotheringham. Here's a short video that introduces his story.
Dropping parachute! Yeah! Woohoo!
I'm Aaron Wheels Fotheringham. I ride WCMX. I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada. WCMX stands for Wheelchair Motocross. It's kind of like BMX, but with wheelchairs in skate parks and on ramps and stuff. I started riding WCMX when I was 8 years old. My older brother was a BMXer, and he always did skating too, and it just, you know, got me into it. I crashed a couple times, and they helped me get back up, and then I finally rolled away from one of them, and I was like, that was fun, you know, just instantly hooked on it. About 6 months after landing my first backflip, I ended up going to Germany and traveling for my first time because of the sport. And then from there, it just hasn't let up. At least in heaven I can skate. Tomorrow we're at the Venice Beach Skate Park doing a Life Rolls On, They Will Skate Again is the name of the event. And we have a competition. We've got the best riders from all around the world coming, and we all just battle it out and try to get first place. People of all ages on wheelchairs come out. What's your goal?
To do a handplant and a backflip.
A handplant and a backflip? Mm-hmm. You'll be the first girl to be doing all that. Yep. You're my hero. We show them how to ride the skate park and, you know, teach them some of the skills so they can either, you know, just for daily life have, you know, a little bit better skills on the chair, or if they want to get into skate parks, you know, it gives them a head start.
I'm 11. I want to be able to do flips, and I want to be able to grind the bar.
Mainly for me, it's just important that they see the wheelchair as an, you know, opportunity, something fun. Because a lot of people think of the wheelchair as a dead end, but, you know, these kids, you know, you ask any of them and they love their wheelchair, and that's my goal. Fear is definitely a huge part of it. Every time I get to the top of the big ramp, I just get sick to my stomach, and, you know, it's more than just regular fear. It's like, I'm gonna die. But I feel like if you're more confident than you are scared, and you gotta just at some point just push over the edge. Heaven is a half pipe.
Aaron is an inspiration. That was a short video. You can check out a whole lot more online. But there are so many opportunities that were taken away from him by him being born without the use of his legs, except that Aaron did not see those as disabilities, but as special abilities. He didn't see it as a hindrance, but he saw the special opportunity in it. And Aaron didn't just do amazing tricks. He invented a sport. He started wheelchair motocross. He landed the first backflip. He landed a double backflip. He set many records. He's an inspiration to so many people because he was able to see the opportunity in the obstacle. And when we are called to make the best use of every opportunity, the Bible does not deny that some of those opportunities will come out of very difficult things. In fact, the text says that we are to make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. We live in an evil world, and there is so much evil we could point to in 2020, but our God is so good that in every single bit of evil, he brings a special opportunity. And if we can be like Aaron and have the courage to drop in on some of those terrifying ramps and experience what God has for us, there is more success for Jesus because of the opportunities than if we never experienced those hard things. Hindsight is 2020 when we embrace the opportunity. If we're still waiting for Jesus to come back in 30 years, and if I have grandkids and they hear about this COVID-19 thing in history class and they ask me, "Grandpa, what did you do during the global pandemic?" I don't want to tell them that I sat at home and watched movies. I don't want to tell them about all the news feeds I followed or admit that the most exciting thing in that year of my life was my ridiculous toilet paper collection. I want to be able to tell them that God worked miracles, that I saw God shape me and my church and my community in powerful, amazing ways through the difficult situations. Hindsight is 2020 when we embrace the opportunity, and I want to tell my grandkids, I embraced those special opportunities that God gave me. There are some really obvious ones from this year. I want to highlight just a few. In the desperation of 2020, there's an opportunity for revival. Revival rarely comes in times of ease and comfort. People are reconsidering their beliefs right now, and for a moment, there is an increased openness to spiritual things. In the decentralization of church in 2020, there is an opportunity to re-centralize church. We have very much missed the privilege of meeting in person weekly as a church with no limitations, but in that, we've been pushed to move church away from a building-centered, event-driven operation to a Christ-centered, lifestyle-driven movement. And if we take advantage of this opportunity, we will see things happening that needed to happen for a long time. The central activity of church will not be people coming in to sit in pews, but people going out to apply the love of God to a hurting world. Even the inconveniences we've had, like a lack of children's programming, there's an opportunity there for parents to become disciple makers in their homes. There's an opportunity for us to move away from church-operated ministry to the church supporting individuals in the ministry God has called them to. We can move from a come in to a go out movement. In the suffering and death of 2020, there is an opportunity to face our own mortality. As we see how fragile life is, there's an invitation to be more intentional about how we live and move away from this culture that is nearsighted and self-indulgent and stores up treasure in heaven, and move toward being reliant on God and less reliant on self and longing for heaven. In the new normal of 2020, there's an opportunity to shape a new normal. Now, we may not like the phrase, but if there's going to be a new normal, let's stop resisting it and let's start working to shape that new normal in a way that glorifies God. And let's face it, there was a whole lot of things in the old normal that didn't look like Jesus. There were things in our own homes, our own lives, our own church that needed to be changed, and they were stuck in a rut. And God has given us a fresh start to establish a better normal. In the limited in-person connection of 2020, there's an opportunity to connect online. Now, I really don't prefer FaceTime or Zoom or social media, but what an opportunity to connect with others. And 2020 has pushed us into an online space that we really need to be occupying and leveraging for God's glory. In the mandates to stay away in 2020, there is an opportunity to get away. We have resented the quarantine and isolation, and it's not good for everything to be shut down. But in all of that, there's an opportunity for us to step away from that, to have a little more time at home, even if you're tired of that time at home, for us to rest and to simplify. In the unmet needs of 2020, there's an opportunity to serve. Whenever there's a difficulty, there's an opportunity to help somebody through that difficulty. So instead of running away from all the hard things, we should run towards them in love and service. So when you look at all the obstacles, what opportunities do you see? We need to shift our focus from obstacle to opportunity, from prohibition to possibilities. And try this. Think of one thing in your life right now that is a frustration to you. It is something that you want to get done with and get out of the way, and prayerfully ask what the opportunity in that thing is. And as God shows you what that opportunity is, embrace that opportunity for God's glory. Hindsight is 2020 when we embrace the opportunity. And hindsight is 2020 when we understand God's will. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." What is God's will? Jesus told us to pray, "Your will be done in heaven as it is on earth." What does that even mean? It means that God actually has desires. There are things he wants. There are things that please him. And scripture tells us that he does what he pleases. God does not act against his will, and no one can force him to. But there are things God wills that he does not do, at least not yet. He longed to gather Jerusalem as a hen gathers chicks under her wings, but they were not willing. So God has desires, and our response to him can satisfy those desires. Verse 10 calls us to try to understand what pleases the Lord. We don't need to understand everything, but we should be looking to understand God's will in everything. When we don't understand God's will, things don't make sense. We see the pain, but not the purpose. And by not understanding his will, we're missing out on the value he had in that thing. What is God's will in your COVID fatigue? What is God's will in your sickness and your struggle with the virus? What is God's will in your unemployment? We just see it as a disaster. But if we understand God's will, we can see it as more than a disaster. We can see that God is working for good in that disaster. When we don't understand God's will, we spend our efforts in wrong ways. It's like God carefully made a Christmas list, and we decided to get him a gift, but we never bothered to look at the list. And we spend our energies and orient our lives trying to do things for God that he never wanted. When we don't understand God's will, we become preoccupied with what everyone else is doing. We just have to know what Trump tweeted, or what the Biden administration is planning, or what our governor is thinking, and what everyone else is doing. But what matters is God's will. And when we don't understand God's will, we become obsessed with our own. Understanding all those other things will not bring clarity to our hindsight. But hindsight is 20/20 when we understand God's will. Hindsight is 20/20 when we are filled with the Spirit. I know that many people are spiritually discouraged. Others might be just neutral. But this is a time to be spiritually red hot. It's not a time just to be tolerating things or just getting by, but to be going deep with God. Verse 18 highlights what we so easily do. It says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." When we're empty, we need to be filled with something. And so the text says, don't get drunk on wine, which is one example of a way we might numb ourselves or distract or indulge rather than being filled with the Spirit. What ways are you trying to numb the pain of 2020? What things are you filling yourself with other than the Holy Spirit that God has given to us? In the remainder of our text, Paul lists 4 actions that clarify what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit includes addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, and giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Being filled with the Spirit is something that is lived out relationally in the way we interact with others and submit to them and address them, and the way we interact with God and giving thanks and worship. So if 2020 did not expose your need for dependence on God and draw you to Him, what do you think it'll take? Hindsight is 2020 when we are filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to review these 4 ways that hindsight can be 2020, because I would love for them to actually make a difference in the way you come into this new year. Hindsight is 2020 when we apply it to our own lives. Hindsight is 2020 when we embrace the opportunity. Hindsight is 2020 when we understand God's will. Hindsight is 2020 when we are filled with the Spirit. So 2020 is hindsight, but it can be more than just a really hard thing that we managed to survive. Instead of just limping into a new year, we can let God launch us into the things He has for us with renewed life. And I invite you to make some resolutions about how you're going to think very carefully about how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Resolutions about how you're going to make the most of every opportunity, ways that you are going to seek to try to understand what God's will is, and ways that you are going to be filled with the Spirit. One specific way that I invite you to go deeper with Christ this next year is to engage in an effort we are making as a church to go deeper in prayer. Next week's church service, we will begin an experience called Forward on Our Knees. We will be hearing from multiple voices about prayer, and we will be inviting all of us to take a journey together for spiritual growth. We will also be participating in the Global 10 Days of Prayer experience. That's January 6th through 16th. It starts next Wednesday, and I hope some of you will be joining me Wednesday morning on that Zoom call. And you can find information on our website. There's going to be 2 Zoom prayer meetings each day for those 10 days. And you're going to be blessed if you engage in these things and make this month of January a month of intentional spiritual growth. So I wish a happy new year to all of you as we move forward with Jesus.